anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. That was pretty good, huh?
That was great.
Yeah. Hey, Kirk.
Hey, Paul.
It's the 7th anniversary episode of Music Ray Gun.
Happy anniversary. No way. Everyone said we wouldn't stay together. Our love wouldn't last.
Nope. But this, our podcast relationship has outlived so many marriages.
So many.
There are people who hadn't met yet when we started this podcast who are divorced now.
100%.
There are probably people who hadn't met yet at the beginning of 2024 who are divorced now, but
yes. You know. But still. We stand the test of time.
Music Ray Gun has been here. It's still here, and it will always be here.
Never leaving your eardrums.
You are listening what will become the longest running podcast of all time.
Ever. You're welcome, America.
I don't think so, because I think like Keith and the Girl is still going.
Oh, that's been like forever. That's like before like Mark Maron and stuff, I think.
Keith and the Girl goes back to like 2004 or something like that. It's one of the first podcasts before anyone knew what it was.
But we've been doing it seven years. What's the 7th anniversary? What am I supposed to have gotten you? Let's take a look.
Bronze or copper? Copper, I think.
Oh,
I don't
gosh.
Know. Why do I know that?
Why do I not know that?
Because I read my fucking Emily Post like a responsible person.
That's right. Because you're classy. it is copper. You are right.
Yep. There you go. You can give me a penny later.
She got you a Moscow Mule mug. Ooh. To make your Moscow Mules.
I'll bet that's what most people do on their 7th anniversary if they follow that shit.
Yeah.
Just a Moscow Mule mug.
Here, drink this and fuck off. We're 7 years in. I got the itch already.
But it being our anniversary episode, mm-hmm. we are following a tradition that we haven't kept every year, mm-hmm. but many years,
mm-hmm.
because our first episode that we ever did was Prince.
Yep.
On some anniversary episodes, we stay Prince adjacent. Mm-hmm. Last year, I think we did Prince 2.
Yeah, we did.
In previous years, we did like the Prince family, Prince adjacent things.
Kind of stuff.
Minneapolis, we did 1 year, the city of Minneapolis. And we're doing it again for this anniversary episode, but it's a dual topic.
Yes, it's a twist.
You chose videos for the Paisley Park topic.
Yeah, the label.
Which is Prince's label. It's also mm-hmm. the name of his headquarters and studio.
Now a museum.
In Minneapolis, now a museum. And I'm doing the Paisley Underground.
Yes.
Which was an indie rock, early 80s Los Angeles scene mm-hmm. that is related
yes.
to Prince.
Yes.
Because he was a fan of it.
Yes.
And it inspired. What it is the brief rundown of the Paisley Underground scene. It was like a very jangly guitars, 60s, like birdsy, psychedelic, neo-psychedelic, 60s inspired indie rock scene. And Prince liked it. It inspired Around the World in a Day, which was 100%. Very sort of psychedelic.
Yeah, that whole album is.
Yeah, it's why he named it Paisley Park.
Yeah.
He named it after the Paisley Underground scene.
Yeah.
You know, one of the bands in the Paisley Underground was the Bangles, and he wrote a song that he gave to them.
Famously.
Which we'll talk about later. And he was just sort of into it, and it inspired the whole Paisley Park thing.
Yes, 100%.
So we're sort of doing two topics merged together.
Meshed.
Yeah.
Like a marriage that's celebrating its 7th anniversary.
An anniversary, that's right. But we'll start with one of yours. Let's talk about Sheila E.
Let's talk about Sheila E. So Paisley Park, the label.
Yeah.
Basically, Purple Rain blows up and is huge. And Prince is like, great, guess what? I have a record label now, Warners.
Yeah.
You're going to pay for it. And they're like, yes, we are, Mr. Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paisley Park comes out. And the first Paisley Park label was his album, Around the World in a Day.
Mm-hmm.
Paisley Park, the label, kind of sucked. It's not great.
Okay.
Not a lot of good stuff. Should have been better. But, like, it's all Prince from Around the World in a Day in 85 to Prince Greatest Hits B-Sides, which is 93.
And after that, the label shut down?
The label shut down because he was pissed off at Warner.
Oh, right, because it was still a subsidiary of Warner. And then he did his whole artist formerly known as Slay yes. Zeal.
And then everything became NPG.
Right.
Power Generation Records. Okay. Which is, like, again, all his stuff and then even stuff that no one knows because there's, like, nothing.
Yeah.
At least there's, like, so kids with this.
Even less than the Paisley Park.
Yes, even less than, like, we're not going to do an NPG one because they're just, like, we're just going to do Prince stuff and that's it. There's nothing there except the Chaka Khan album, which didn't even do that well.
So it's safe to say that the only A&R guy at Paisley Park Records and NPG Records was Prince Nelson.
It was.
And he maybe didn't curate the greatest.
It was Alan Leeds, which was his manager. Oh, okay. Eric Leeds, who did saxophone for him a lot. So I think he basically ran it and like one other guy.
Yeah.
And it's all Prince's albums and a couple other people. So Sheila E.'s second album was one of his first non-Prince signings.
Okay.
Her first album, Glamorous Life, which he put together, was just for Warner. And this is...
So this sucks, you're saying.
No, this is good. We're going to go good, mm-hmm. and then you're going to go, what's going on here?
Okay.
But this is good. The Sheila E. stuff is good, because this is from her second album, Romance 1600,
mm-hmm.
which has the big hit Love Bazaar that everyone knows. This is the second single, Sister Fate.
Okay.
Which is really good. And you'll see how she's dressed. A, she's dressed like Prince, mm-hmm. but dressed like Prince during the Paisley, her his Paisley influence era.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is 85, 86?
This is 85.
85.
She is a year before come out with Glamorous Life. And this is all real jazzy.
This is pretty jazzy, yeah.
Very, very Sheila. And this again, this video makes no sense. I don't understand. She's Sister Fate, and I think she has magic. And it looks like, you know, they're in the gardens of Versailles.
This is still, yeah, this is also a very Prince thing with, like, just the long jackets and the...
Yeah.
The synchronized choreo.
The royal... everyone's dressed like royal, like, court, in the royal court.
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably don't know this song.
No, I mean, I may have heard it before in my life, but don't...
It was, like, Love Bazaar, her single off this was huge. It was a really big hit. This is the second hit that didn't do as well.
Which one do you like better?
Oh, Love Bazaar.
Okay. Good. Well, but sometimes you'll come out with a hot take, like, I actually like the lesser known...
Factually, Sister... Yeah. But this is the second best song on the album. And I like this song. But there's a lot of good stuff.
They picked the right singles.
Yeah, they did. See, she has magic with a bunch of people making out.
Yeah, and then what happens?
I don't know. I think they freeze.
She's just a weirdo. There's no magic at all. She's just walking around touching people with a magic wand. Yeah. And they're like,
what are you doing?
What do you want?
We're trying to make out.
Sheila E., okay, they just did a thing, like in the old movies, where the newspaper is like, extra, extra. Yeah. Sheila E. to marry mystery love. What does that mean?
That means it's Prince.
Not since the Body music video have we had such a great fake news headline.
Fake news is happening. But they, because they were dating around this time.
Sheila and Prince?
Yeah, they were on again, off again a lot. And of course, he was dating another one at the same time.
Sure, dating, yeah.
Let's say.
She looks great.
She looks great. The band is cool. And this is like, I like this too, because this is actually her band. It's not it's not a bunch of models. And it's fascinating too, because like, again, they're still frozen. What magic powers does she have?
Yeah, is she a good witch or a bad witch?
I don't know. You figure she would be good, but maybe she doesn't want people making out. She's
very sex negative.
Sex negative.
Just like Prince.
Yes, classic Prince, where it's like none of this.
Yeah, chaste.
Yep. But she originally was like, I don't really want to be a lead singer. I don't want to be a front. And Prince is like, no, you are. You can do it.
Yeah.
You're great. Because she just wanted to play, not even just drums. She was like, I just want to do percussion.
Right, yeah. He had his proteges who were of questionable talents that were just sort of like hot chicks that he was like, you have a band now.
Yes.
And we'll talk about one of them later. But Sheila E. actually is a talented percussionist.
She's amazing. I think he was also like, because like, he would be like, oh yeah, she's like, I can't fuck with her.
Yeah.
I can't fuck with her on the drums, man. Right. She's just fucking great.
Yeah, like actually respects her musical talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
scene. There's a shot of
Prince. Oh, from the Strawberry of the Raspberry Beret.
Raspberry Beret, which is right around this time. Yep. So he's doing a lot. And so she's still Sister Fate.
She's the only thing standing in your way.
And she takes off her cape.
Yeah.
And she might be naked, but there's the shawl from her hat covering.
Ooh.
Yep. I love this.
I like her outfit in these shots better.
She does that all the time.
Where she kicks over the
high. And I was like, that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're great. She would also do a lot of like, she would do this thing that I'd never seen before, because you don't see it that much with percussion. She would slam the drumstick down on the floor.
Yeah.
And it would pop up in the air and she'd catch it behind her back.
Ooh.
And you're like, you're fucking badass.
That's cool. Yeah, because most drummers are sitting behind a kick.
Yeah.
But she's like Tito Puente up there, where she's just got like the two snares in front of her doing.
Killing it.
And just like putting on a drum show.
Yeah. And she was great.
Yeah.
So this is probably, other than Prince, this is like the hot, this is the most, one of the most successful artists on Paisley Park.
On Paisley Park. Yeah. Well, that was cool. We love Sheila E., obviously. So, good way to start it.
Yep.
let's talk about the band I mentioned earlier, the Bangles.
Yep.
The Bangles, I mean, I don't have to really... nobody doesn't know who the Bangles are.
Nice.
They had some of the biggest hits of the 80s.
Yeah, love the Bangles.
But the hits that they're known for... and I think I talked about this way a long time ago.
You showed an early clip of them.
I showed an early clip of them.
And there was good stuff.
Yeah, and that... The stuff that they're more well known for, like Manic Monday, the Prince song, or Walk Like an Egyptian, or Eternal Flame, like none of that is very representative of the Paisley Underground.
Mm-hmm.
The Paisley Underground version of the Bangles is the early Bangles before they really made it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they weren't even called the Bangles at first. That's their third name.
Oh, really? What were the other two names?
They
were
originally The Colors, with a U, of course.
Gone. That's good they didn't do that.
And then they quickly changed that to The Bangs. And they had to change it because there was already another band called The Bangs.
Bangles is the best one.
Bangles really is better because it sounds right
it
for
sounds
them.
Right for them.
Because they're jangly and that rhymes with bangles.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a girl's, you know... fashion thing. It just sounds right. It's just onomatopoetically.
Yeah, it feels
correct.
Really good when you say it.
Yeah. They even recorded a couple things as the Bangs, like a single. But what we're going to watch is they're going to do two songs on American Bandstand in 1982.
Oh my God. I didn't even know they made it to American Bandstand when that were.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
Wow.
We're actually going to watch them do the same song that I showed, but it was years ago at this point.
Okay.
And it's different footage. It's called The Real World.
Yes, I remember.
And then another one from the same self-titled EP called Want You, which Vicky sings lead on.
Oh, Vicky's great.
Because early on, I mean, Vicky and Susanna, like, and you'll even kind of see just sort of the way that they present the band here, like, they hadn't figured out yet that Susanna's a star.
Yeah.
And because she and Vicky were sort of equal in the band creatively, like they both co-wrote songs, they both sang lead on different songs, that they sort of get equal spotlight on this. Like they're really not putting Susanna front and center yet.
Yeah.
So I find that interesting. So yeah, let's watch.
I'm just amazed that they're on American Bandstand. Because from my age, I'm like, oh, the Bangles, they came out when Manic Monday came out. And you're like, that's them.
Yeah, nope. They had... they had several albums and EPs.
That's amazing.
Before that. This is March... well, it says March 22nd, 1983. But the EP that they're doing the songs from is 82. So they'll start off with The Real World, which Susanna sings.
Wow, that's American Bandstand. Shit.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That short hair.
Yeah, she's sort of got like an androgynous thing going on. It's almost like a Beatles haircut.
Yeah.
And she does very, like, Paul McCartney head shake things that I think is probably conscious on her part.
This is good. I forgot that this is really good.
Yeah.
They really have a 60s vibe. Holy shit.
Yeah, the fashion, too. Like, they're just sort of, like, cute bobby socks almost, but with a new wave twist.
Yes.
But it's not all the hair that they would have later, right?
This is very far from Walk Like an Egyptian.
Yeah.
This is great. This is really good.
She's so tiny.
Yeah.
Susanna Hoffs is 5 feet tall. I mean, I looked it up. She's 5 feet tall. That's crazy. Yeah.
They're cool.
They're this all is a cool version yeah. of this. But you know, they're not. They haven't. They're all just wearing sweaters. Like,
yeah.
They haven't sexualized Susanna yet, or made her like the front
this,
woman.
This version of the Bangles would not have been as big.
Right. Yeah. This is the Paisley Underground version.
Yeah. Of the they would not. They've not broken off. They would have just been an underground thing.
This guitar solo is so 60s.
This is really good.
I mean, I love this song. I think the early Bangles are by far the best.
I figured that's the
Paul's best.
Yeah, and you're not wrong. I mean, I'm not a look. I don't need to hear Eternal Flame.
Oh, that song's dreadful. That song's love like Walk Like an Egyptian.
Walk is great. In My Room is a great song.
Oh, is that a Beach Boys cover?
No, it's like a fast song.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it's In Your Room.
Oh, all right.
But it's a really good pop song. But like even. Because, you know, they broke big with Manic Monday. Even Manic Monday sounds, you're like, oh, it could be still a part of this because it's still different from all the later Bangles stuff.
Yeah, and it, like, Prince wrote it, but inspired by yes. the scene that they were a part of. So it's got sort of that vibe to it.
Yeah, and he wrote it under a nom de plume.
Yeah, Christopher.
Christopher Tracy.
Yeah.
Which is the name of his character in
Under the Cherry Moon.
Under the Cherry Moon. Right. But he is like, he did that a lot.
Yeah. So now we get to watch the interview, which is interesting.
Wow.
Because he doesn't even talk to Susanna first.
He's like, you're not big enough. You're not a big enough star.
Right.
Sure will. This is a friend of mine, Debbie Peterson. She's my sister.
I hope she's a friend of yours.
Debbie, Vicky the drummer and Debbie the guitar player. And that's the original bass player, Annette.
Oh, that's a different bass player.
That's a different bass player. Later, like during their like popular period, Annette had left the band and they replaced her with Michael Steele.
Yes.
Who was the founding bass player for the Runaways, but quit the Runaways before they made it big.
Oh, shit.
Because, as we know now, Kim Fowley sexually assaulted like everyone in the Runaways.
Yes.
And Michael Steele, who was Mickey Steele. Her real name's like Susan. Uh-huh. Michael Steele is not her real name.
I didn't know that either.
And when she was with the Runaways, she was Mickey Steele.
Okay.
And she was like, wow, fuck you, rapist. Yeah. I'm out of this band.
Yeah,
and she
done.
Just split.
Wow.
So the classic lineup of the Bangles is not the original lineup.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
But Annette is their current bass player. Michael Steele retired a few years ago, and Annette rejoined the band.
Oh, that's amazing.
So they're still together, and she's back.
I love that.
Yeah. In the old days, you took your record to Cincinnati. If they didn't like it there, they played it in Cleveland. If they didn't like it, they played it in Dubuque.
Yeah, but they liked it in Cleveland.
Where are you going to be tonight?
At the Roxy.
Oh.
Now that's for our friends who live in this area. Now, is that a one-night thing?
Yeah, it's one night, as far as I know.
You played there before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, we played there.
They didn't tell me Dick was going
to
talk to me.
Yeah, Dick didn't get... We didn't know he was going to say these things.
What is the next song? Don't tear your hair.
The next song is called Want You.
Who creates the music? Who writes the music?
Well, Vicky and Susanna do.
Did you write this one?
Sure did.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, the Bangles.
They're great. Shit.
Yeah. But it might as well be a different band.
It might. I mean, it is really strange.
Yeah.
Like, listen to this.
Yeah, and this like, this is the band that does Eternal Flame.
This is the band that did Walk Like an Egyptian.
Yeah.
This belongs in, like... This either belongs in a Tarantino movie or, like, a 60s biker movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was totally not commercial because
yeah.
the 60s weren't, like, old enough to be cool again yeah. yet. It was
yeah,
just kind of like,
later,
oh,
yeah.
you guys are just doing lame 60s
yeah,
music.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very underground.
Yeah. It's sort of ahead of its time because yeah. it was just too early to be doing a throwback, but they did it real well, and it's aged like wine, right?
Yeah, because, no, it's good.
Yeah.
Wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, this is even more sort of rock and roll than the first.
Yeah.
Than the
and
first
the fact
time.
That it's on...
Bandstand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very weird because Bandstand... No, they played... Yeah, they did, like, do smaller acts.
Was Bandstand on... It was every weekday, right? It wasn't a weekly
Not
show?
Not for when I was a kid. When I think when my mom was a kid, it was...
Okay.
Every week after school. And then
so
when I was a kid, it became Saturday morning.
Saturday, so... Okay, that was in the 70s that became...
Yeah, 70s and 80s, because I would watch... there was Soul Train and Burning Man's, and I would watch
Okay, because I was going to ask, if there's that much time to fill, then you have to give space to a lot of people who aren't necessarily topping the charts, right?
Yeah, Cleveland's a Michael Stanley band played, so I guess that's true, so...
I'll bet there's also a little bit of, like, above-board payola, for lack of a better term, where it's like... You know, maybe the Bengals didn't smash it with this EP and they didn't become big yet, but I'll bet, you know, the record company was trying to push it and, like, booking them and trying to...
Very, very true.
Trying to make it happen.
Because this is a totally different feel.
Yeah.
But they're fucking cool as shit.
Yeah, yeah. And in a very different way than they would become.
Because they were cool when they were just pop. Yeah. And you're like, they're fucking awesome. Yeah. And now that's amazing.
And even this... out of the Paisley Underground band, which is essentially four bands, and I'll get to the rest. Even at this point, they were the ones who popped out of that scene. Like the other ones, you know, had some success on like college radio, but didn't even make. They certainly weren't on Bandstand.
No, that's a big deal.
So the fact that they were on American Bandstand in 1983 is like, oh wow, okay,
that's a big win.
They were trying to make it happen, and this is even before. The album that has all the big hits on it was their first album that has some like minor hits like Hero Takes a Fall.
I know the name of that.
And a cover of the Katrina and the Waves called Going Down to Liverpool.
I know the name of it.
Which Vicky sings. And you know, those had videos and those were semi-hits. But again, they didn't explode until their second album.
Yeah, they became big.
Yeah, because, you know, Prince got involved.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the next Paisley Park artist.
We've talked about them early on. I'm bringing them back for their other song. Mm-hmm. This is Maserati.
Yeah.
This is the rock funk band that was on Paisley Park's label.
You'll forgive me if I don't remember which Maserati song we watched.
That's fine. Because
it was only 6 years ago.
A medium hit at best called 100 Miles Per Hour, which Prince wrote... and is actually on, like, I think in 2019, he had that album Originals, which is just demos of all the songs that he did for other people.
Yeah.
And 100 Miles an Hour is on it.
Okay.
Also, like, Manic Mondays on it and stuff like that. And it's great. And that song slaps. This song I love, too. It's a little cheesier, but it's called Player's Ball.
Okay.
But it is definitively, like, Prince is like, I need a bunch of guys who are kind of look like me, but are, like... A little rougher than the time.
Yeah.
And that's Maserati.
Maserati, Player's Ball.
Player's Ball. I love this song. This band is ridiculous. And I think there's seven of them.
Okay.
It's a big band.
How did they get my grandmother's clock?
Look at these. Yeah, it's seven guys.
It's a lot of dry ice.
Yep.
Big hair. Oh, yeah, already this is like the time.
Yeah, but, like this time, but a little different. A
little different.
A little like glam. You know, they're a little less smooth.
I mean, every Prince adjacent artist is so obviously Prince inspired.
Totally, right? Prince inspired. And you're like, oh, yeah, these guys are friends with Prince. But this was the group that was discovered by his bassist, Brown Mark.
Okay.
And so Brown Mark helped produce this album. And they were going to be like a big thing. Here's your guitar.
Yeah, they're a little nastier.
And it's like, so it's two guitarists, bassist, lead guitar, two synth, and a drummer.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, this is like the midpoint between Rick James and Prince.
Yes, exactly.
It's a little more Rick Jamesy because it's nasty.
It's a little nastier. So this is like their nastiest. The album itself isn't great. I used to have the album. Like, it's one of those things where Player's Ball opens it.
Yeah.
And then like 100 Miles Per Hour is right after. And you're like, this is the greatest thing ever. And then the rest is filler. Here's the hook, though. Yeah.
One of the perfect bands for the Spotify era of like, I'll just cherry pick the songs and put them on playlists.
Yes. So again, this is the story that I've told. It's the classic story of they were in the studio and they're like, hey, Prince, write us another song. Come on, do it.
Yeah.
This is a joke. And he wrote Kiss.
For them. Oh, and they're the band who wrote Kiss.
And then they like funked it up a bit, and he's like, give me that shit back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a part two to that, which I'll discuss in a later video.
Okay.
But that was their, that was the one thing they were like, what the fuck? You just took away this great song of ours.
Yeah, but they improved it, and then he wanted it back.
Yeah. They improved it pretty well, too. Like, you hear their demo, and you're like, oh, it sounds like what?
What it became.
What it became.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm always fascinated because after this, that was it. Like 100 Miles Per Hour came out. It maybe hit like, it was top 40 for R&B.
Yeah.
So not bad.
No.
And then there was nothing else. And you're always like, what happened? I'm wondering what these guys do.
Where are all the individual members of Maserati now?
Is one
now?
Of them like an actuary? Right. And it's like, yeah, I used to be in this band, Maserati. It was on Prince's label. Now I'm an actuary.
Yeah. I was in a band in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, they're probably old enough to be retired.
Yeah, probably.
What was their day job?
Yeah, but they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love this little break.
But you wouldn't also, I mean, if you didn't know that they were actually Prince produced, you'd be like, oh, these are just some guys who formed a band and who are like chasing trends and ripping off Prince.
Well, that's what Ready for the World was. Because they were from Detroit, and everyone's like, oh, I guess they're friends with Prince. They just sounded like Prince.
Yeah.
But this is, I think this was one of those, like, it's an example of, like, and I didn't put them on to, like, The Family, which I talk about all the time.
Yeah.
Where Prince is, like, designated, you're the next band, man. You're the next, I did it with The Time, I'm going to do it with The Family, and we do it with Maserati, and they must have been like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. And it just kind of like, because it's Prince and even it's a label, he's doing his own shit.
Yeah.
He's not really paying attention and things just fall by the wayside.
Yeah, he has all these ideas.
Yes, exactly.
And he doesn't want to dilute his own brand, so he keeps creating all these other projects. Yep. But then he's so ADD about it that he doesn't like focus on anything. And,
and that's
like,
what happened.
Hey, you know, if you don't write us a song, I'm unemployed.
Yeah, are you going to put this out?
You said you were going to make us the biggest band.
Like, here's like, and I didn't put them on, because I had put them on the before. And also, their video is a little hard to find in good quality. And their album is out of print, which is The Family. They came right after The Time broke up. And Prince is like, I got it. You're The Family. I'm putting it all together. It's going to be huge. They performed once at Paisley Park for a party. Never went on tour. Never performed again.
Yeah.
Even though their song was on the radio. Because half the band was with Prince in Europe touring for the Under the Cherry Moon movie.
Yeah.
So no one was around to tour.
Yeah.
And they're just like, well, so the lead singer of the family is like, wait, we're not touring? Because half the band was with Prince.
You made a lot of promises, Prince.
Yes, he did.
All right, let's talk about the next of the four core.
I know the name of this band, and I swear, I thought this band was signed to Paisley.
I don't know that they were, but maybe I'm another wrong. Band we're going to talk about later was.
Okay, maybe that's it. Okay.
But the Dream Syndicate.
I know this. I
don't know if they
Syndicate
later
fan.
Became. Not to be confused with Dream Academy.
Well, no one's better than Dream Academy.
That's your shit.
Yeah.
I like the Dream Academy too. The Dream Academy. I don't think you're going to like the Dream Syndicate. I would say that the Dream Syndicate is the most rock of the Paisley underground bands. This footage is cool because this is recent. About 10 years ago, in fact, December 2013, one of the greatest regrets of my life is that I did not go to this show at the Fonda Theater, which is walking distance from my apartment
Down
on Hollywood Boulevard. 10 years ago. And I just couldn't, it was like, I couldn't, none of my friends were interested enough to go with me to this show. And I didn't want to go alone, so I didn't go.
That's legit.
And in retrospect, I should have just gone. But the four Paisley Underground bands did a reunion show.
Oh, all of them?
All four of them got together for a reunion concert, I think two nights only, at the Fonda Theater. It was right there, and I just didn't go. And I'm always going to kick myself for not going. But also, like, since then, the bands who reunited for that show, like, reunited and have recorded new albums.
Oh, wow.
So this is footage of the Dream Syndicate performing for KEXP, that great radio station.
Oh, you love that station, yeah.
Seattle that posts lots of you know, they record bands recording in their studio. And this is them doing their biggest quote unquote hit.
Okay.
Tell Me When It's Over, which was sort of a college radio hit, but not like an actual hit, from their 1982 album, The Days of Wine and Roses.
Oh, wow.
But this is them, you know, these aging middle-aged men still doing it in 2013.
I mean, the Dream Syndicate's a good name.
Yeah.
It's a great name.
But it does have that sort of 60s jangle to it. But it's a little harder.
It's a little grungier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, these guys are dads.
They are dads. But, like,
they can fucking play.
Yep.
Oh, this is college radio as fuck.
It's very, yeah. This, I mean, this is right up my street.
Yeah, I'm not mad at this. Yeah. I mean, it's not my thing, but here's what's amazing about them. And this is how you can tell they're pros.
Yeah.
Because they, obviously, they look like fucking dads.
Yeah.
They sound so clean.
Yes.
So clean.
That's why I was like, there is, I think, a music video for this, or I found several live performances from 1982. But it's all, you know, people's camcorders and shit. It all sounds like trash. And this is so clean.
This is really clean.
Like, what? They're not even dads. They're uncles.
They're way old. And they're also just very chill.
They're just regular dudes.
They're regular. They're not like... They're not, like, jumping around. They're just, like, playing.
Yeah.
This is right up your alley.
Yeah, I really like the Dream Syndicate. This song is great. It's just got that repeating sort of droning lick.
It's a pretty good hook.
But it's a good hook. So here's a fun fact about the Dream Syndicate. The front man, the leader of the band, is named Steve Wynn. He was in the same high school class as Darby Crash and Pat Smear.
Oh, no way.
Of the Germs. Yeah, they were, yep.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
They were classmates in high school.
Wow.
I wish I had remembered that when I met and talked to Pat Smear at Pat Smear's house. And I would have been like, so I know that you went to high school with Steve Wynn, so but did you like know him? Did you like go to Dream Syndicate shows and shit? Because the Germs and the Dream Syndicate could not be two different bands, right? Just because they were in the same class doesn't mean they were friends.
If you had just started talking Dream Syndicate to Pat and nothing else, I bet you he would have been like tickle pink.
Maybe, but Pat and Darby were already like sort of weirdos and outsiders in high school.
And so maybe
And so it's very possible that they had no relationship with Steve Wynn at all.
That's true too.
But it would have been fun to ask him, like, did you like know Steve Wynn in high school?
And say nothing about the Germs.
Right, yeah.
That would have been really fun.
That's always my fantasy for meeting celebrities. It's like, don't talk about their thing. Talk about the things that they like.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants to talk about themselves, right?
That makes you cool.
Yeah, because it's, So did you guys like the Dream Syndicate, or did you think they were whack?
What do you think your favorite, what's your favorite song by the Dream Syndicate?
Because they were some of the hardest punks, and the Paisley Underground scene was never cool.
No.
And it was like probably really corny to them, right?
They probably liked something like this though. Because it's a little grindier, grimier.
Like, I bet Kurt Cobain liked the Dream Syndicate.
100%. They showed
the lead guitar player looks like Ira from Yo La Tengo.
The lead guitarist guitar, I love, because they showed a couple closes of it and it's kind of beat to shit.
Oh yeah, that's always my, I love that. Yeah, it's probably like, it's the not, same Jaguar.
Yeah,
he was
like
playing.
It's a little worn at the top.
Yeah, the finish is rubbed off in places. You can see the wood underneath.
I think that's very cool.
Oh, I always think that's cool. Yeah. When, you know. Yeah. Probably the same one he was playing.
Yeah, he's
years
like,
ago.
I got one guitar, this is it.
Yeah. But even this was 10 years ago.
That's crazy that was 10 years
ago. Oh, it was from Bumbershoot. Bumbershoot 2014.
Wow, 10 years ago. So they're even older.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they're older than you anyway.
Yeah, thank God. Someone is.
So that was the Dream Syndicate.
All right.
Yeah.
That wasn't bad.
Tell us about... Oh, you don't need to... I mean, we know who this next
one is. We know the time. Let's talk about the time.
Yeah, Jerk Out.
This is a fascinating sliding doors, everything about it.
Okay.
Because, of course, we're hearing Jerk Out. Jerk Out is actually their biggest hit. It was their... Because it crossed
biggest
over.
Chart hit?
Biggest
okay.
chart hit. It did actually...
This was a bigger hit than Jungle Love?
Yep.
Okay.
Got them on Saturday Night Live in 1990. And... The whole thing of this was...
I think I've seen them do this on SNL.
Yeah, and it's great.
Yeah.
And the song's great. It's not the best time song, but it's still really good. So the two stories about this, one I've told, but one is, this is, Batman has just happened.
Okay.
And Warner Brothers is like, also fun fact, Batman is, even though Paisley Park was a thing, it's not on Paisley Park.
That's on Warner Brothers.
No, it's straight up Warner Brothers. Yeah. So, but it didn't matter because Prince made a fortune anyway.
Yeah.
And they're like, do whatever you want, Prince. And that's where he was like, I'm doing Graffiti Bridge. I'm bringing back the time. And the time, shockingly, was like, fuck yeah, let's do it. Because Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis were already huge.
Producing.
Yep. Jesse Johnson had three pretty big albums. Morris had two. So everyone's kind of pretty big. But they're like, yeah, fuck, we love the time. Let's keep doing it.
Yeah.
And so they had the album Pandemonium. Mm-hmm. And they had a song. Prince is like, I have this song. It's called Jerk Out. And they're like, yeah, we'll take it. Jerk Out was originally a song that he gave to Maserati.
Oh.
Because he felt bad about taking Kiss back. So he's okay. Like, listen, sorry I took Kiss back. Here's Jerk Out. Just take this. It's fine.
Yeah.
And the lead singer was like, I'm not fucking singing a song about Jerk Out. That's gross. And passed on it.
Passed on it.
And okay. So the time goes, fuck yeah, Jerk Out.
Yeah, Morris Day says, I have no such qualms.
Bring it on. Yeah. And they got their biggest hit because of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, let's watch the video for Jerk Out.
And this video is slick. And there's two amazing cameos, one I didn't even know of.
Morris.
And they're only in their, like, probably 30s at this point.
Yeah.
And in my mind, they're like, oh, they're back. They're old, but they're back. Because I was 20.
Yeah, it's like this legacy act reforming.
Everyone's there. Yeah, everyone in the band. They're just having so much fun in this video.
Yeah. Morris Day just seemed like he was always having fun. Love
again, fucking the whole story, which is amazing. He tells it all the time. He's like, I was the drummer.
Yeah.
And then Alexander O'Neill asked for too many things to be lead singer. Prince is like, fuck you, you're not in it. And then the advice that he gave Morris, because he's like, Morris, you're lead singer. Morris is like, no, I don't know how to be a lead singer. I don't know.
Yeah.
And Prince goes, man, all you got to do is stand there, put your hand in your pocket, and be cool.
Yeah.
And that's, Morris was like, I can do that.
Yeah.
And that's what you see it in his first videos. He has a hand in his pocket and he's just being cool.
Yeah. I mean, that song is, I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm cool. That's how he did it. Okay, ready? First cameo. Coming up.
Is that?
You'll get it. Right there.
Oh, it's Quincy.
It's Quincy.
I didn't recognize his profile.
Yeah. And then
as soon as they showed him straight on, I was like, yeah. Who is that?
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Oh, I wouldn't know who that is. Just to look at him. Yeah.
But I was watching this. I was like, why is Quincy in this video for 1 second? Because he can.
Yeah. Quincy can do whatever he wants. The top-down pink convertible limousine is great.
Is great. And I will say this. You'll be shocked for me to hear this. I'm like, this song's a little too long. It's a little too
long. I noticed that at 5 minutes and 46 seconds, it's pretty short for a time song.
Yes, but that's true.
But it does go on.
It goes on. Like, the long time songs are like, I'm fine with them.
Yeah.
This one, I'm like, you could wrap it up because it's a little more poppy.
Yeah.
Now they're in a country western bar, like 48 hours, and then everyone's like, what are these guys doing? They're going to own it.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Like, this song is fine. It's fun. It's a good pop song, but it's not Jungle Love. It's not Ice Cream Castles. It's not even cool.
No, it's not like Get It Up or 777-9311.
Yeah, but it's weird.
This is fine.
Yeah, Terry.
It's a good bass line. And then Jesse Johnson.
Yep.
Underrated. Love Jesse Johnson.
The Chicken Wire.
Yeah, very Blues Brothers too. Yeah.
You say Blues Brothers, I say Roadhouse.
I'm good for both. Yeah. And
just going bar to bar picking up chicks.
But I love that. It's just the time was a band that was basically put together.
Yeah. To make party music.
To make party music.
Yeah.
They didn't come together necessarily organically. And they just realized, oh my God, we're really good. We're really good. And it stayed that way.
I'd be curious to see a ranking of all Prince's side projects and things ranked by, like, financial success.
That's a great question. And I would probably say it might be the time. It could be Sheila E.
Sheila E. Are we counting Sheena Easton?
Well, he only wrote like two songs for her.
Yeah, she doesn't count as a protege. It's like,
do we count Stevie Nicks because he wrote Stand Back for her?
Right, yeah, okay.
You know.
She was more of her own thing.
Yeah, Sheena Easton was kind of her own thing. So it was probably the time. And then very close second, Sheila E. And then just everybody else.
Yeah.
They just didn't do it.
What was that band that was just like all instrumental?
Madhouse.
Madhouse.
I almost put one more on, but I didn't want to torture you.
Which episode did we have Madhouse on? Maybe it was Prince 2.
Saxophone?
Or saxophone.
Was it could saxophone? Have been, it might have been Saxophone 2.
Yeah.
Or it might have been.
Was that the one where they had to wear masks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Originally, he wanted Tony to be it.
Yeah.
And Tony Turner's like, fuck that, we can't show our faces.
Yeah.
And like, listen, Prince has really good ideas. He has real bad ideas.
Yeah.
But he was
too big for any filter to be put on it.
No. Because, like, Vanity 6 was originally going to be, like, Vagina 6 or something like that. And that's dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Vanity was like, no.
Even at that point, she's like, I mean, later I'll be Christian. I'm still a coke whore now, but even now, I'm not calling myself Vagina.
That's not happening.
As a stage name.
Yeah, everyone's going, okay, well, then it's Vanity.
Yeah, which is better.
Way better. See, they keep going to different parties and causing havoc.
That's what the time does, is they're troublemakers.
They go to clubs and cause havoc.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was fun. I mean, it's Jerk Out by the time.
Yeah, it's
great. So, yes, thank you for that. I love to see. We should just do a Morris Day episode next year.
He's got a bunch of solos. He's got a couple big hits. Although now it's, I saw recently, they're still great.
Mm-hmm.
It's Morris Day and the Time.
Yeah.
I think it's just Morris and Jerome.
Oh, and no session one else. Players. Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone else.
Jimmy and Terry don't play with them?
No, and I don't think it's any sort of like acrimonious thing. I think it's like, we're all doing our own
thing. We got stuff going
Jesse's
on.
Jesse's like a huge session guitar, plays with D'Angelo and stuff. So I think they're all like, you guys go ahead and maybe we'll join you for some point.
Yeah,
fair enough. You know what? They join them whenever they're like, let's have BET honor the time.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, yeah, we're coming in.
They're going to play at the Grammys or something.
Yeah, but when it's like a tour or Vegas, they're like, go ahead.
Sorry, we're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, get the guys from the family. They're not doing anything.
Yeah, they're fine. They need a gig.
Let's talk about another Paisley Underground band.
I don't think I know. I do not. This is the Paisley part, or Paisley band I have not heard of.
No, great name.
Yep.
I think for, again, the type of music they do. The Rain Parade.
That's a great name.
It's
a great name.
This band is definitely the most psychedelic. Mm-hmm. 60s psychedelic. If the Dream Syndicate is the most rock and roll and like college radio, then the Rain Parade is the most psychedelic throwback. I don't know if you'll like it. Okay. You surprised me by liking the Dream Syndicate a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. But this is also from, I think this is 83. This is from their album, Emergency Third Rail Power Trip.
That's a little much, but I'm still okay because Rain Parade is a great name.
Yeah, this is, again, like, this was not a hit album or anything, but it was an underground hit and it's still an album that, like, music nerds
love.
And a lot of people think it's the best album of the whole Paisley Underground scene, even though they're probably the least well-known band.
Okay.
Snobs are like, they're actually the best.
Factually?
Yeah. Even though none of them are like huge, except for the Bangles doing a whole different thing. Yeah. So this is their song, This Can't Be Today. And they made a music video for it.
At an amusement park.
It's like the Birds, but a little harder.
Oh my God, look at this video. This is very psychedelic.
Right? But with a college radio, yes. 80s twist.
Yes. Oh, listen to the little shakers.
Yep.
If you just played this for me and you're like, this is 67, I would have been like, yeah, it's 67.
Yeah, it's got like those echoey background vocals like the Beatles' Revolver album.
I was going to ask you, I was like, is it the video or is that the recording? Because it does sound like muted.
Yeah. No, those are effects.
That's effects.
Yeah. I don't know what the narrative of this video is. They're just sort of hanging around. There's like a cute little girl at the amusement park.
But it's interesting because this is not only like, this looks like an early 80s like student film, but it also could be a 60s video.
And it could also be a 90s video.
Yes,
it's like a Blind Melon or something, right?
Fascinating.
Yeah, like completely not commercial.
No, there was no
audience for this in 1983, but it was both. But it's both a total throwback and ahead of its time.
I like this video. I'm not a big fan of the song, to be honest, but the video is actually kind of pretty great.
Yeah,
it's just very interesting. This is the type of video that would be showing in the. There's always a. Visual installation at the Mocha downtown.
Yeah.
This would be it without the sound.
Or if you had like a hip bar.
Yeah.
Then you would just put this on the TVs.
Yeah.
Instead of sports.
Yeah. And then someone would be like, who is that? And they're like, the Rain Parade.
Yeah. Now, I'm not one of the people who thinks that this is the best of the Paisley Underground. I like them fine. I listen to the Rain Parade, but the psychedelic thing is not as much to my taste as either the rock of the Dream Syndicate or the pop of the Bengals and the 3 o'clock, who we'll talk about in a little bit.
This is the, this is the lesser.
Yeah, but I do like this shit.
Yeah.
And there's LA.
Yep, Smoggy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So psychedelic.
This could be 94 or 67.
Yeah.
The fact that it's 83 feels weird.
Yeah, exactly. It almost shouldn't be 83. It should be either 94 or 67. Wait, there's a panda bear. Okay, guys. Yep.
This is very, like,
here for it. I'm here for this.
The Beatles at their most acid-y.
Yep. Like, not here for the song, but I'm here for them doing the heads of the animals.
The animal costumes.
And she's a literal tree hugger.
Yeah. Yeah, don't ask me to explain any of this imagery.
Wait, does she die? Oh. Does the little kid die?
She just, I think the little girl is the one on acid.
Oh, yeah, I like that. She's dreaming all this. And the song is in her head.
This would be good to listen to, just like, you smoke a big fat joint, put headphones on. And just listen to a Rain Parade album.
This literally, I keep having to remind myself that this is like early 80s.
Yeah.
Because it just does not feel it at all.
And I respect the bands who are like, we like this kind of music. It's completely passé at this point, and no one cares, and no one wants to listen to it. But this is our thing.
Well,
and that's what the Paisley Underground is.
That's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
Like, they know well aware that this isn't going to be popular.
I got into this music about 20 years ago because, you know, remember when Rhino would put out great box sets?
Yeah.
And do you know Nuggets?
No.
Which is a famous double album from the 70s that collected a bunch of, like, underground, non-garage rock hits of the 60s that were, like, maybe regional hits in, again, Cleveland or something like that.
No, but we're not at all.
It's sort of a legendary album. And then later, Rhino spun it out into a 4-CD box set where they collected even more of those kinds of 60s hits. And then they put out Nuggets 2, which was a box set of all British, like, forgotten garage rock.
Interesting.
And then in 2005, they put out Children of Nuggets, which I bought using a gift card my brother gave me for my 22nd birthday at Newbury Comics. And that was all that kind of music from the 80s and early 90s of like 60s inspired bands.
Yep.
And it was very heavily Paisley Underground. And that's how I discovered, like, oh, the Bengals had this whole other era before they were famous.
Didn't even know.
And all these other bands. And I still love, like, all that shit from the Children of Nuggets box.
Children of Nuggets is a great box. Which is
long out of print, but I still have it.
I'm glad you still have it.
Yeah. So that's how I got to know all these bands, including the Rain Parade. All right, let's finally talk.
Let's do a 180.
Finally, Music Ray Gunn.
We did it.
Is talking about Carmen Electra.
Happy anniversary. It took us 7 years to even mention the woman's name.
Yeah, well, we are a music podcast, and I don't think people think of Carmen Electra as a musician first.
That's how she got her... Well, she got started as a dancer, but yeah, that was what her big thing that came up was Prince.
She was a Prince protege.
She was a Prince protege. Yeah. She was part of his big dance troupe who... Not to brag, but I know someone who's part of it.
You know someone who knows Carmen Electra?
Yes. I know someone who's danced with Carmen Electra.
Whoa.
They were in that same kind of backup singer. He had a club in LA called Glam Slam. And he had dancers there. And she danced there. And the woman I know, Lindsay, who's still a choreographer and amazing, she danced with them. So she knows her.
And you know Lindsay.
I know Lindsay.
And I know you.
Yes.
So I've danced with Carmen Electra.
You've literally danced with Carmen Electra. Yeah. So yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So Carmen Electra had an album that Prince produced for Paisley. And this is her second hit. It didn't do that well. Her first thing was called Go Go Dancer, which is not a good song.
Okay.
This is called Everybody Get On Up, which... I'm curious to hear what you think.
Was this like 92?
92, exactly.
Now, from my perspective, I never heard of Carmen Electra until she became the second co-host of Singled Out.
Yes, that's right.
MTV, which I guess I have to explain this to young people.
Oh, God.
And old people.
Yeah.
There was a game show on MTV in the 90s, which was like a dating game style. Chris Hardwick was the host.
Yeah.
And the original co-host was Jenny McCarthy, and that's kind of how she got famous.
Yes.
And she had been like a Playboy playmate,
yep.
And they made her the co-host of the show. And she got popular because even though she was a sexy blonde, she would like pick her boogers and fart.
Yes.
And she was like cool.
And she would punch the guys.
Yeah, she was like the kind of girl that 13-year-old boys were like, I understand.
Right here.
And she understands me.
Yeah, I like her.
And that was me because I was in junior high. And then she got too famous to keep doing this dumb show.
Yep.
So she split. And then the second co-host was... I remember the commercial that promoed, like...
Oh, my God.
This new co-host for Singled Out was Carmen Electra. And I was like, oh, I like her much better.
That's awesome.
I still, to this day, have such a soft spot for Carmen Electra. I've always liked Carmen Electra.
Well,
I think she's great.
This will be interesting.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, she's an amazing dancer. Like, she's like a legit, trained, amazing dancer. And then Prince went, hey... You're a great dancer. You have a lot of charisma. You're now a rapper.
Right, yeah.
So
it's like,
this
Prince, you're not even a rapper.
Yeah. So this is Carmen Electra rapping.
Ooh, okay. But objectively, Carmen Electra is more talented than Jenny McCarthy.
Yes.
And also didn't spread anti-vax propaganda even before the pandemic.
Yeah, 100%.
So we like her better.
Yes. And I like the song. This is Everybody Get On Up.
I also watched every episode of her reality show about being married to Dave Navarro
in
2003.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. This is good.
Everybody
like
get on up. Yeah.
It's very poppy. And very early 90s.
Ooh. There's horns on this.
Yeah.
But it's a rap.
But it's a rap because she's going to rap on it. It's a very poppy rap.
It's very like CNC Music Factory.
Yes, exactly.
Rap. Yeah. Ooh.
I still like it.
She's a better rapper than Prince.
Yeah. I mean, it's less weird.
Yeah, the bar's in hell for that. This is very like CNC Music Factory.
It's very CNC Music Factory. Yes, it is.
Yeah, this kind of thing hasn't aged super well, but at the time, this is.
I don't even think this wasn't even a hit.
No, I mean, I was aware of pop music at this time.
Yeah.
But like I said, I never heard of Carmen Electra until she was on Singled Out.
None of her songs were big hits.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this. I don't remember hearing this on the radio at all. But I remember seeing the videos. and I went and found the album at a used one for like a dollar.
Yeah.
And I was like, for a dollar?
It's worth a buck.
It was a buck. And it's got like two good songs on it. And everything else, you're like, oh boy.
Yeah.
But she is stunning and she's a great dancer.
She's stunning, but she's like just, I don't want to be problematic, but she's just sort of like round the way girl enough that I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I like, you know.
I get you.
I don't like too much glamour. I like a little bit of.
You like a little bit
of. A little bit of street skank.
You like a little bit of edge.
Yeah, I like it a little, yeah.
Well, that's because she's dressed for it too.
Right.
It's a weird song.
Yeah, she's, you know, she's better than Fergie, though.
I think so. I think
she's a better version. I think Fergie is the poor man's Carmen Electra.
I've heard it's a hot take. I've heard there's a lot of bad, like, shitty rap out here.
Yeah.
This is not as bad as the shittiest rap.
No, there's no, like, it's kind of hookless. It's fine.
I think the groove
It makes
good.
Sense that it's not a hit. It's not a hit.
No, it's not. I like the bass line a lot. I like the horns on it. But you can tell, like, Prince is like, I'm going to put a bunch of music on it.
Yeah.
We're going to have horns. We're going to have actual keyboards. And it's 92. You're like, you just need a boom bip and rap.
Prince never really got hip-hop.
He didn't really want to get hip-hop.
Yeah, but he wanted to do it Prince style, yes. I think. But, yeah. But I will say, this is the faintest praise with which I'm damning this, but, like, this is not embarrassing.
No.
It's fine.
It's not cringy.
Yeah, it's not cringe.
No.
It's super dated.
Yes.
But it's not bad.
No, there's worse music out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the horns on it.
The horns, I think, are good. Yeah, the horns help.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really weird.
There was, like, nothing hip-hop about it except that
She raps on it. Yeah, the music is not hip. The music is actually very Prince-like.
Yeah.
But the rapping
is... The music is very, like, VH1 1992.
Yeah, yeah.
But with this model rapping on it, right? Well, because, the dancer, but she's not doing a ton of dancing.
Yes, because Prince told her to.
Right. And, yeah, when Mr. Nelson says jump, you jump.
Yes. This is the band I know.
You know the 3 O'Clock?
I know of the 3 O'Clock. I almost put them on.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I got to have something for Paul. And then I just didn't. Because
they were signed to Paisley Park.
They were signed to Paisley Park.
Prince, this is not like their, again, they didn't have hits. They had college radio hits.
Yeah.
This is not the song they're most well known for. It's not from the album they're most well known for. But this is the song and the video and the album that Prince liked.
Yes.
And this is why they got signed to Paisley Park off of the strength of Her Head's Revolving.
Yes. I don't know the song, but I do know that, like, he was like, they're great. They're now signed. And, like, nothing.
Did nothing came of it.
Nothing, as you can see.
This album isn't on Paisley Park yet, but this is from 1985.
No, there's a second album much later that's on Paisley that I think didn't do
well. Well, a third, because this is from their second
album. That's right, the third. And it didn't do that anything.
Yeah, they never really made it big, but they, again, like, after that reunion 10 years ago, reformed, put out a new album out. Mm. I remember they were on Conan doing some of their early songs. But they also, they are sort of like, I don't know, I feel like they're the heart of Paisley Underground.
Okay.
Michael what's his name? Curcio, I believe, is the front man for this. And he's the one who, like Neo Soul, gave it its name.
Oh.
But he meant it tongue in cheek. And then the name Paisley Underground, like, he's the one who called it that, but he was just being an asshole when he called it that.
Yeah.
And then the press ran with it and all the bands were like, oh,
okay, I guess we're this.
Every
now.
Paisley Underground band hates the name Paisley Underground. Because he just was being sarcastic.
Being cheeky.
He's like, yeah, call this the Paisley Underground.
Yeah.
Because some music journalist was like, you guys are doing sort of like a 60s throwback
thing.
How do you call that sound?
Yeah.
The Paisley Underground, he said. Anyway. You'll see from their style why Prince kind of liked them.
Okay.
And also, just in sort of a similar way that Susanna Hoffs was mildly androgynous with the short haircut, he's also mildly androgynous and very short.
Oh, okay.
And has, like, this reedy voice and is kind of femme. And the way they dress, you can see that, like, oh, Prince would have keyed into this on some various levels. So this is Her Head's Revolving, which has a roller skating theme.
Oh, I like that.
which you might like. They also do like a little sketch before the song starts that we have to sit through.
I was going to say, it sounds very Pink Panther-y right now.
Yeah.
Oh, IRS.
Oh, they were on IRS at the time. Yeah, that was just the IRS ident, but... I don't know what this is. But this is not the song.
It's the Hokey Pokey.
They're just being goofballs on their roller skates.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I grew up roller skating.
Yeah.
And then, what, 5 years ago, I took my kids roller skating.
Yeah.
At Christmas. They still do the Hokey Pokey.
They still make, okay.
Still make them do it. Oh, this is a good video.
So this is them playing, you know, the bandstand at a roller rink. But the roller rink is... not a lot of people there.
Interesting. He is very... oh, wow. I love that this is video is from MTV2.
Yeah, that's exactly... yep. Yeah.
Wow, so they, he's got a very female-forward voice.
Yeah, yeah, it's a unique sound. Yeah. Had. And he's a tiny little boy. So I think between... I think because Susanna is so short and Michael Curcio is so short, Prince is like, oh, I like them. They make me look
tall. He's like, I see them. I feel seen. You know, this is pretty good, actually.
I like it. And, you know, they're doing a sort of... It's not as theatrical as Prince's artists looked, or like Maserati looks, but they've got some big hair and some new wavy.
They're very new wavy.
Yeah.
I don't mind this at all.
I thought you would hate it, so that I'm glad about that.
I take it over the Dream Syndicate.
Yeah.
I take it over Rain Parade. Not the Bangles.
The Bangles are the best.
But this is pretty good.
Michael Curcio and Susanna Hoff were very close friends.
Again, all of this, and it's very obvious, but you're like, this is so college radio.
Yeah, it's right up my alley.
Yeah.
But I just like imagining Prince liking this enough that, like, I've got to get those guys on my... because it's not Princey.
No, that's what I'm saying. It is interesting that he's like, you know what? These fucking guys are great.
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
Well, that's what's interesting about Prince is because he did like all kinds of music.
Yeah.
But he clearly wanted to be on brand with himself. So when he would write a song like Manic Monday, which could have been on Around the World in a Day, but really isn't that Princey. It's clearly like, I need to find other artists as outlets for my other musical ambitions.
That's why he kind of did the time.
Right.
Because he wanted a cool funk band. But he didn't want to be perceived as just a funk artist.
Right.
So he's like, well, I'll just come up with this funk band.
Yeah.
Even like Vanity Six is like, I can write for women.
Yep.
I need to come up with a band.
But he never did anything quite as rock as this, but he did sign this band. So.
No, he did for a brief moment.
Yeah.
Like right around 1999, Dirty Mind era.
Yeah.
He had a 3-person rock band called Renegade. It was him... Des Dickerson, who was his original guitarist before Windy, the guy named we've had him on named Andre Simone, who's like a big mentor toward him, and they were going to do this like rock thing. Des Dickerson was like, fuck yeah, because I love rock. And then Prince is like, nah, I'm not really doing that anymore, I'm kind of going towards, you know, different things.
Yeah.
And they're like,
did Renegade ever record anything?
Nothing.
Oh, there's no Renegade.
Oh
no.
They like got together, they were going to do some shit. And then Prince got distracted doing some other shit.
I would have loved to have heard Renegade.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like, oh, this is going to be some fucking rock and roll shit right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, that was the 3 o'clock, and those were the four core
bands.
That
was actually pretty good.
Let's talk about one more Paisley Park. All right. Thing.
Did you know that George Clinton was on Paisley Park?
I didn't know anyone who was on Paisley Park until I started researching this episode.
Okay.
I didn't even know that the 3 o'clock got signed to Paisley Park until this.
Yes, George Clinton in 1990... when is this? This is like 93 or 90... this is like 93 or 94. Had an album on Paisley Park. Mm-hmm. The album is called, Hey Man, Smell My Finger.
Okay. And this is George Clinton solo.
This is George... not... well, it's not Funkadelic.
Right.
It's George Clinton with a bunch of guest rappers.
Right, but the album is credited to George Clinton.
It's credited to George Clinton. Okay. Hey Man, Smell My Finger.
Yeah.
And this is the hit from it, which is not a big hit, called Paint the White House Black.
Uh-huh.
It's a hot fucking mess.
This is bad.
This is not good.
This is with Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, who I know.
Yep.
Yo-Yo.
You know Yo-Yo.
Who I vaguely remember you bringing Yo-Yo to the table at some time. And Bread and Cam.
MC Breed. I only vaguely know because I think he was on the second album of the White Man Can't Jump soundtrack. The more music for White Man Can't
Right,
Jump.
Right, yeah.
The other guy, I don't know. Cam? I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
This is a wacky video. There's a lot of cameos in it. And you're like, you would think, oh, fuck yeah, Ice Cube, Dre, George Clinton. It's not that it's like shitty. It's just like, it's just a mess.
A vanity project.
Yeah, it's, I don't like this. Because it's just, I want it to be like really good George Clinton.
Yeah.
And it's just all over the place.
Look, the mission of Music Raygun has never been to present only things we like.
Yeah.
It's to present things that are on topic and interesting.
And this is interesting.
Yeah. The bop gun, also known as a music ray gun.
That's right. You can look at our freaking icon.
The actual song Bop Gun is great.
Yes, it is.
But sometimes George Clinton is like, it's a little much, the whole...
This gets a little...
Yeah. I mean, I love Ice Cube. So far, I have no problem with
this. Well, the guest rapping stuff is good.
Okay.
But then the stuff in the middle, you're like, what is this?
It's too much. Oh, it's like a Hillary Clinton. Yes. So this is 93 at the earliest.
Yeah, so it's 93. Yeah, I think it is 93. And it's... There's nothing going on now. He's just talking. And then it's George.
Oh, and there's Bill with his saxophone. Yeah. Uncle Jam wants you. Get it? Because it's like Uncle Sam, but it's
Uncle Jam. But it rhymes Sam. Says the White House Black. The chorus to me is just terrible.
Yeah, this is... Flea! Oh, and Anthony.
Now you're like, There's Yo-Yo.
Okay. Yeah, this is the kind of thing that would come out in 1993.
Yeah, you're just like,
okay.
You're like, oh, because on paper you're like, fuck, Dre, Yo-Yo,
yeah,
Cube, and Clinton.
And that the concept of Paint the White House Black is cool.
It's pretty cool, and then you're like...
But this is very mediocre.
It's very mediocre. I'm glad you've sat... Yeah. I was really worried that you might be like, meh, this is actually fine. It's just kind of like, what...
I mean, maybe this is a hot take, but I like the Carmen Electra record better.
This is MC Breed.
Okay, or MC Bread, as I call it. That'll be my rap name, because I love carbs.
Fucking love bread.
Not the band Bread, though.
No, just Bread.
Yeah. MC Breed should have called him MC Mid.
And then, like, there's a spaceship, because there's always...
Because it's George Clinton, yep. Sure.
And then
is that Flavor Flav?
Yeah, in the background. Like, the George Clinton stuff is the worst part.
I mean, George is cool.
I mean, he's cool, but you're like, ah, is this good? It's just...
I like him now. He doesn't have the hair anymore and stuff, and he just kind of looks like a normal guy. And you're like, oh, look at you, George Clinton. You're a human being.
Yeah. You're not an alien.
Not a music alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ice Cube is the best, but he's the wrong choice for this. Because this song is like too upbeat and celebratory, sort of. And I'm like, Ice Cube's particular like kind of aggression is not a match for the vibe.
Yeah. That's Cam. I don't know who that is. I honestly have no idea. I mean, I guess he's fine. I couldn't say.
George Clinton's song.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is like 93, 94.
Footage of cops being cops.
And then, again, as a reminder, this is on Prince's label.
Yeah, seems like it would be.
It's weird. And it's called Hey Man, Smell My Finger.
George, the taste level isn't always there.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it my... You know what I'm most impressed by? The quality of the Hillary and Bill Clinton lookalikes.
The Hillary looks like really pretty good.
Yeah.
But now they're into it.
Right. Because they hit him with that bop gun.
They hit him with the bop gun. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And this Hillary can dance.
Yeah. Yeah, no disrespect to George Clinton, who's a legend and we love him, but this was a swing and...
Yeah, this was like...
I'm not even going to say it's a swing and a miss. I'm going to say he fouled it off on this.
Yeah, fouled it off. Yeah. I agree. That's a good point. He fouled it off.
Yeah.
It's not crap.
It's not going on any playlists.
No, not at all.
Now let's wrap it up with the man himself.
Sure.
You mentioned the album they put out a couple years ago that Prince probably never would have put out in 1,000 years.
No, but it's...
But it is good.
Such a great fucking album.
The Originals album that collects all the... His recordings of the songs that he gave away.
Yeah.
Like Nothing Compares to You and all that stuff.
Yep.
And Manic Monday, which... You will often see it written that he wrote it for the Bengals, and that is not true.
No, he gave it to them.
He gave it to the Bengals because he wanted to fuck Susanna.
Yes.
But he wrote it for Apollonia 6.
Yes.
And I don't know why. Is it because they ceased to exist at a certain point, or he just wanted to fuck Susanna Hoffs and was like, well, I'll give it to you.
I think it's the second thing.
Yeah. But it does sound like a throwback.
Yeah.
But this is...
It also doesn't really fit Apollonia that well.
No, it's... I mean, look, it was great for the Bengals.
Yeah.
It could have gone on Around the World in a Day.
Honey, you could have just put it on there.
It very much is that Paisley thing that Prince was doing, that 60s thing. So it's perfect for the Bengals. But this is from the official Prince YouTube channel, so it's labeled official music video. But all the music video is rehearsal footage of Prince from the mid-80s.
Yeah, I love this
stuff. At Paisley Park or whatever. If it was pre-Paisley Park, whatever, you know, headquarters he was using.
Yeah.
But it's him, like, with his group, like, rehearsing dance moves.
I think I know this.
To, you know, set to his recording of Manic Monday, which the Bengals did a complete straight-ahead just cover of this.
Yeah, they're like they just... He gave didn't it to mess him with it like, at all. Let's just do this.
Yeah. So, fun fact about... Manic Monday, it peaked at number 2 on the Hot 100.
That's pretty big.
But it was kept off of the number 1 spot by what? Kiss by Prince.
And I was about to say it had to be Kiss.
Yeah.
Damn, he was really feeling it. He had number 1 and number 2.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
But anyone will recognize this immediately because it just sounds exactly what...
It's the same song.
Yeah.
Like they really just...
There are elements to each that I prefer to the other at certain points.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. There's this little intro card just saying, describing what this is. Yeah,
how big he was. Yeah. Like, this is exactly what...
Yeah.
So this is... rehearsal for Purple Rain.
Yeah, okay.
It's the Purple Rain rehearsal tour.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Because that's all the Revolution right there.
I kind of like this song for like home video footage though. It makes
it's wistful sweet. For it. Yeah.
He's such a tiny man.
He's so good though. Yeah. I love watching these rehearsals.
Just him dancing all over the... Yeah.
And then just like... And then it's just unending rehearsal. So right now that's for When Doves Cry. That's dancing for When Doves... That's When Doves Cry dancing.
Now, I would say I like Susanna and Prince's vocals equally. I like the background vocals on the Bengals better
than
this demo.
Yeah, I agree.
The oh-wos.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'll bet you can guess which part I think the Prince version is way better.
The piano?
No, not quite. I'll say we haven't heard it yet.
Okay. I mean... Listen,
yeah.
I don't know if you know, but I am a Prince fan.
Yes.
it's remarkable that he wrote a song like this.
Right, because it's so not Prince.
So not Prince.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of songs that you're just like, what the fuck did he write that?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He would write for just different personas and yeah.
I didn't know till maybe 10 years ago that he wrote Stand Back.
What's Stand Back?
Stand Back is the Stevie from Fleetwood Mac.
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks song. He wrote that and gave it to her.
Yeah.
And I was like, that Prince wrote that? I never know.
This is the part I think way is better than the Brangles version, which is the bridge.
Okay.
This part. Which is like more Princey than the rest of the song, and so him doing it is better. Yeah. And the little spoken word bit
here. This is, yeah.
Right here. Like, I like that bit way better when Prince does it than the
Beatles. I never, as much as I love Manic Monday,
yeah,
I never liked the
No.
I never was a big fan.
But it's on the demo. You can't blame the Bengals for that. No,
that's him.
They followed the blueprint.
Did they? Prince, you told us to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
I respect them for being like, we are not fucking with this at all.
Yeah. Like they're like, oh, wait. Yeah. We get it. We don't need to do a damn thing.
Great song.
And also, unlike Maserati going, instead of going, I don't want to talk about jerk out.
I don't, nope. They did the damn thing.
They did the damn thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we had to close on that.
No, that was good. I love that.
That's where the greatest overlap is.
Definitely. Yeah. That's where it all meshes together.
Yeah. So that's it. That's it for our anniversary episode.
7th anniversary.
We love to talk about Prince.
Fuck yeah. Can't wait to talk about him again soon.
But that's it for this episode of Music Raygun. Music Raygun is hosted by me. I'm Paul.
I'm Kirk.
Until next time.
See ya!